Now, I want to tell you about
his brothers who were going to kill him, but in the end, $45 worth of fairy floss. Like, if that's not the greatest waste of money in the history of wasting money, I'm not sure what is. But anyway, so I was at the show and I wanted something to eat, and we're walking up and down there. I couldn't find anywhere. I was standing near a bloke I know, and he was getting Thai, but that's probably a little bit spicy for me. So he said, "Have you been down the Salvation Army?" So I go down the Salvation Army. What did the Salvation Army have for me? They had a steak sandwich. Okay. Now, there's two crucial ingredients in a steak sandwich. Good bread and steak. Now, everything else is a bonus. Sometimes you get lettuce, tomato, cheese, onion, beetroot. There's all different sorts of things. But really, it's about the bread and the steak and the bread again. Now, funnily enough, that idea of the bread, the steak and the bread is actually, it's a way they used to write stories. They used to write stories and have them kind of sandwiched in together. There'd be a piece of bread and then there'd be the real meaty bit in the middle and then another piece of bread at the end. And it's a way of writing stories, and that's the end of the English lesson. But that's what they did. So you have your bread, you have your steak, and then you have your bread. Okay? Now, just in case now I've got everyone all excited, I'll go back to Frozen for a second. Now, there's this thing in Frozen. There's this dude or dudette, I'm not sure what it is, but he's like a frozen snowman in Frozen, okay? Now, Frozen's about this like eternal winter, and at the end of the movie, sorry for spoiling it, the eternal winter ends. But now there's a snowman. What happens to the snowman when the eternal winter ends? Snowman melts. So what the snowman got, his name is Olaf, he got his own personal little cloud so Olaf could live. So everywhere that Olaf went, when the sun was out, he would still stay a snowman because he had this magical kind of cloud with him. Now, it's not magic, but it is a little bit like that. This dude, Joseph, wherever he went, and this is our first piece of bread, the first piece of bread in the story, wherever Joseph went, who was with him? God was with him. No matter what happened to him, his brothers almost killed him. God was with him. He was sold as a slave and carted off to a foreign country. God was with him. He was sold to a bloke by the name of Potiphar, and then Potiphar's missus accuses him falsely. God was still with him. Wherever Joseph went, God was with him. Like Olaf, the cloud is always with Olaf. With Joseph, he's always there. Always with him. Anyway, so we call it the potential fence jump. What happens? What happens here? So Potiphar's doing his work. Potiphar, well, doesn't have to do much work anymore because now he's got Joseph. And because God is with Joseph, it kind of success overflows. Whatever Joseph puts his hand to, it's one of these dudes, if Joseph had invested in the share market, you would have wanted to know what he invested in and just did what he did. Because everything he put his hand to, it went to gold. It worked out perfectly. And Potiphar discovered this. So Potiphar started putting Joseph in charge of everything. So all Potiphar was concerned about was what he would eat. So the blessing to Joseph overflowed to those that were around him. Now, apparently Joseph was like the olden day version of The Rock. And if you don't know what he is, it's a much better movie than Frozen. It was an olden day version of The Rock, and Potiphar's missus started taking notice of Joseph, and she proposes him and says, "How about you come and fence jump with me?" She'd left him in charge of it, and Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But this is what she was trying to make happen. But what does he do? And Just before we see his response, I just want to jump to something he does in response. Firstly, he says he would not even be with her. So he was wise. Like, what's he meant to do? Go to his boss. Like, he's a slave. Go to his boss and say, "Oh, your missus, his neck is coming off like his head. Like, it's all, like, he's got no choice." So what does he do? He does the wise thing. He thinks, "Righto, whatever I do, I'm not going to be alone with this woman." It's actually there's a lot of wisdom kind of in that idea, okay? But one day he's there, she's there, and it all goes bad. Now we get to the good bit, to the steak. You know what the steak, the real meaty bit in this is? It's Joseph's response. Listen to what Joseph says in response to Potiphar's missus trying to fence jump in with him. He says, my master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" It's a really interesting response there. He doesn't say, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my master?" He says, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Because ultimately, sin is against God. Because it is God who's revealed to us how we should live. Now, that's Noog when she was little. Most households that I've seen have a feral child, okay? She was our feral child. She was proper feral. I assume it's the genetics my wife contributed. So I don't know how she was, but the house we used to live in years ago was like a walk-in bathroom, as most bathrooms are. But anyway, you walk in there, you've got the can here, you've got the shower there, and then on this side there's a big bench, okay? And in the big bench there's a big mirror in front of the big bench, and there's the sink in the middle. So I don't know how old she was, but she was very young. So I go in there, and somehow she'd climbed up onto the sink and was doing a pee in the sink. And like, what do? You can't laugh. You cannot show weakness, okay? You cannot show weakness. Okay, so before I worked out what I was going to do, I said, "Noog, why are you doing that?" And you know what she said back? "Because I can." So because she can, she can. What would our world be like if everyone lived like that? What would our world be like if everyone just did things because they could? If we lied, cheat and stole because I can? If I got away with things I shouldn't get away with because I can? The world would probably be like it is now, because that actually is how most people live their life. Because I can get away with something, I will. Joseph could have fence jumped with Potiphar's missus, and maybe he could have got away with it. But that's not the way that he lived his life. See, the meat in the sandwich is, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Because sin is against God. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt other people. It does. That's one of the reasons why God tells us not to. But ultimately, sin is against God. You might remember from the life of King David. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance from when he fence jumped with Bathsheba. He deserted his army. He fence jumped with one of his army dude's wives. He then has him killed, and then he covers it up. And then he repents and he says this in Psalm 51, "Against you, only you, have I sinned." See, David knew that sin ultimately is against God. Now, for those not familiar with the word sin is just to reject God's rule, to reject him as our boss. When we stick our middle finger up at God and say, "I don't want to live your way, I want to live my way." That's what sin is. Now, it's God that has revealed to me and to you, to all of us, that it's wrong to steal. Therefore, when we steal, it's a rejection of God being our boss. That's what sin is. And sin ultimately is against God. So we've got the bread, and then we've got the meat in the sandwich, which is that ultimately sin is against God. And then what have we got? We've got another piece of bread. Well, you don't have different sorts of bread on a steak sandwich, do you? You have two of the same one. And it's the same in this story. What is the other piece of bread? God is still with Joseph. So Joseph says no. Joseph gets put in jail. But ultimately, it's the same story again. God is with Joseph. So the fallout, what's the fallout of the non-fence jumping episode? He's put in jail. And if you think he's hard done by, just think for a sec, how on earth did his head stay connected to his shoulder? Like, if you're one of these powerful dudes in Egypt, they had no qualms about killing people. How is it that he just didn't say, "Mate, head off, gone"? So the fact that he's put in jail reveals also that God is still with him. But we're told more than that. So he's put he's is put in, where are we? Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. And then down a few verses later, it says, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So he's put in jail. The Lord showed him kindness, but he's still in jail. Doesn't sound like a good result, but the Lord is still with him. The warden then puts him in control. Everywhere Joseph goes, he's put in control. He's obviously a leader, leadership that had come from God. But it is because that the other bit of the bread in the sandwich is that God is always with him. Romans 8:28. If you don't know that verse, please learn that verse. A great verse of the Bible. It says, all things work together for good. It does not say all things are good. There's lots of things in life that are rotten and terrible. For Joseph, getting put in jail, getting falsely accused, getting sold by his brothers as a slave was rotten and terrible. But God uses bad things for good. And out of bad, so often, good things come. See, Joseph didn't make good moral choices because Joseph was a good moral man. Joseph made good moral choices because God was with him, because the Spirit of God was inside of him. See, we don't have a personal cloud that sits above us like Olaf, but what we have is the Spirit of God, which so often in the Bible is like a dove. That's kind of just the image that we're given. Because we have the Spirit of God in us, that is what allows us to make wise and good choices in life. And it's the very thing also that means that we should have no pride in any good that we do. Because we don't do good as a Christian because we are good. The only good in any of us is because God is in us. Because the same Spirit that dwells in us was the Spirit of God that was with Joseph. When Jesus, after the resurrection, when he's about to go back to heaven, he says to his disciples, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit of God that lives in us. And that is a gift from God. Therefore, none of us ever have any right to have pride or to boast in that. It's a gift of grace. And the response to grace is always to say thank you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Joseph. We thank you for his steadfast loyalty to you and the wise choices that he made. But most of all, we thank you that you were with us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to make wise choices in life because you are with us also. And we thank you that your Spirit can live in anyone who trusts in you as their Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.